Welcome to the Network Marketing Heroes Podcast, hosted by 38-year network marketing veteran, author of best-selling books, The 4-Year Career, and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, and world-renowned speaker, Richard Bliss Brook. Learn from extraordinary leaders and get a behind-the-scenes look at what it truly takes to become a network marketing hero. On this week's episode...
In the beginning, it's about what you can do for you. The majority of your business in the beginning is going out and contacting and inviting people directly to join your business, getting them in front of yourself or someone else, getting them in front of the story. You're building your check and your story. That's something that requires discipline, willpower, getting out of your own way, changing your thinking, changing your beliefs about what you're capable of.
Stay tuned after this episode for an exclusive discount code to get 10% off Richard's tools at blissbusiness.com.
All right, welcome everybody to another Bliss Business. Tonight is not a hero call. Tonight is a hero maker call. We have the opportunity to interview one of the most influential, powerful women, most influential and powerful people in network marketing around the world, not just in the United States. Lisa Grossman is a power broker, power mover and shaker in our profession, and she has been making big waves since she got involved in 1988. Lisa lives in Dallas, Texas, but she also has a home, I think she'll probably tell us, but I think in Hong Kong or Bangkok. She spends a lot of time in Southeast Asia building empires in network marketing around the world. She has built teams of a million people and currently has a team of 150,000 people as a retired black diamond in her current company, and she's also a co-founder of a new network marketing company. And Lisa and her partner, business partner Curtis, are just two of the most important people, most influential people, most sought-after speakers and consultants in our industry around the globe. They speak every year at GoPro to what this coming year will be probably 12 to 15,000 people sharing the stage with Tony Robbins and Sir Richard Branson. They are always sought out to speak at any of the important events in this profession, and they've consulted with dozens and dozens of really successful companies and really successful top distributors and companies. Lisa is one of my best friends in network marketing. She's a confidant. She's somebody that I can call about any subject matter in this profession, whether it's, you know, network marketing, finance, or product development, or legal, or distributor issues, or compensation plan, or leadership development issues. She's just got total mastery of our profession, and I'm honored that we could track her down. She just happens to be in Dallas, Texas, and not there very often. We caught her on a good day at a good time, and we're going to have an extraordinary 45 minutes of hearing some of the stories that if you pay attention to them and pay attention to the lessons, Lisa is one of these people that when she answers a question, there's always at least one, if not a half a dozen, huge nuggets that you're going to want to write down and put into your repertoire for building your own empire. So pay huge attention to my friend Lisa Grossman. Lisa, are you there?
I am here, Richard, and wow, I am so humbled by all those words. I want to meet that girl and delighted to be here because I have always been and remain a huge fan and student of yours.
Well, thank you. The feeling's mutual. So let's get into it. People are dying to know who are you and what have you done in network marketing. But before we get into all your successes and empire building, I want to take us back to the very beginning because all of us as network marketers we have that nexus point that is so critical for people to understand and believe in, and that is somebody had the courage to introduce you to this business model and a particular product line, and they did it in such a way, or you were in such a place in your life, you heard it in such a way that you connected. And that's what we're all looking to do, is have the courage to get out there and share our story with people and share it in a way that they hear it and see themselves in it. So how did that happen for you? What were you doing? I know you majored in economics. Were you working in finance, or were you still going to school?
Actually, I was in a family business.
Yeah.
Working in a family business that I didn't much love. And like many businesses, they're small businesses. It sounds glamorous, but you find really that you become a slave to your business rather than the business is a slave to you. You work 28 days a month to pay employees, and they want to go home at 5 o'clock, and they're looking at their watches, and you spend a lot of time worrying. And if you take a two-week vacation, you spend 6 weeks paying for the vacation that you took, not financially, but with the aggravation of what's happening when you go away. I remember one year around Christmas time, I had one of the first car phones in my car. I would remember leaving the office and going into the parking lot and dialing my office that was empty because I just left it, and it would take 10 times for somebody to answer the phone. And you would think about, you work so hard, and people don't have necessarily the sense of ownership, and you think you're a good employer, and I was young. And one day my aunt called me, and my introduction was textbook in that she was following the protocol. She was my aunt, family member. I was on her list, and she called me, and Richard, she was ecstatically excited and quite frankly sounded a little bit insane, and she told me she had found it. She was going to get rich. She was so excited. She had to come over. Should she come over and show me something? And I said, absolutely. And she came over and proceeded to start taking apart my sink and hooking up this water filter. And she said, I'm going to loan you this. It's a puppy. And you have to promise me you're going to use it with everything you make water with. You're going to drink it. You're going to give it to the pets. You're going to make orange juice for a whole week. And then we're going to talk. And I said, okay. And she left, and I was a little bit flabbergasted looking at this thing, but I used it for a week, and she came back, and, sure enough, it was. The water was better, and I liked the product, and I said, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy it from you, and I was so glad to support her. I said, so how much is it? And she said, $179. And I said, and how much do you make? And she said, well, right now, they cost me, I pay $120, I make $59, but I can make as much as $100 as I progress through the plan. And she said, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to be a millionaire. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, well, Dallas is a big city, but how many sinks she would have to hook them up to make $1 million? And I'm like, okay. And she said, no, you don't understand. You have to watch the video. And I watched the video, and it made a very compelling story about how the bottled water was going to be a huge industry. Right now, it's just a small shelf in the grocery store, but someday, you can't believe it, it's going to cover an entire aisle, and this is so much cheaper than bottled water. And that was very compelling, and, I didn't know that I believed it was true, but, you look today, and it does cover whole aisles, and I'm like, uh-huh. And she says, well, you need to get on the three-way. And she put me on a three-way with her upline, and he was a very smart guy, had come out of the real estate business and was explaining to me how he'd gotten involved in this after real estate went bad and was making $30,000 a month. And I'm looking at this thing and trying to absorb what I saw in the video, and I'm like, really? How is that possible? He said, you need to go to the meeting. So I went to a meeting, and I was like so many people are at their first meeting. My body language was crossing my arms. Can I get out of here? And there were people drawing circles, and I was looking around the room, and honestly, this was 25 years ago, actually a few more years than that, in Dallas, Texas, Richardson, Texas. And the only thing I was looking was, okay, I don't know anybody. If anybody I know sees me, well, I would have seen them, so we won't be talking about it. Is this thing ever going to be over? Because I really didn't get it. Circles on the wall, circles on the floor, circles everywhere. And finally, they were done, I thought. And I went to stand up, and they said, no, you haven't seen the best part. Sit back down. And a bunch of people went to the front and started telling their stories. And what impressed me was that they were making money, but they were talking about things like the the fun they were having, the people they were meeting, how much they were traveling and enjoying themselves. And I was thinking about every day getting up and driving in traffic to this office, to people that didn't want to be there, you know, and working and driving home and life never changing and all the responsibility and how good my life looked but how much I didn't enjoy it. And I thought, wow. And I went to the, when it was over, I went to the lobby, I'm dating myself, and went to the payphone and called my husband, and he said, well, how bad was it? And I said, Steve, it is so much worse than I even thought it could be except for one thing. And he said, what's that? I said, these people are dumber than us, they're uglier than us, and they're making more money than we do, and they're having a lot more fun.
Well, there you go. That's the compelling factor. So I suppose you got in?
I did, and it was funny because he told me that I could get in as long as I didn't talk to anybody we knew.
So I think that company was NSA, which is an infamous movement in the history of network marketing, both for the success that that company had and the challenges it had with how aggressive it was and how it built. But today it's morphed into one of the most beautiful companies in the profession. But so what was your initial run like? Like how many people did
very
you
interesting because my sponsor was like so many people, you know, 80% of new people are brought in by new people.
Right.
So she didn't really know what she was doing. Her upline was, you know, in Florida, you know, the person I had spoken to on the phone. But I had the very good fortune of being involved, of living in Dallas, Texas. And Texas, as you know, is a very big market for network marketing, and there was such amazing talent here. And maybe it was coming from a business background or always being inquisitive, but I have always believed that smart people who are successful want to share their knowledge with other people that are really interested in shutting up and learning. And as much as I'm talking right now, when I get around people that know more than me about something that I want to learn about, I am an avid listener. And I knew nothing about that, and they did. And initially, I'm an achiever, and I wanted to excel. So I built a paper empire. I looked good. I didn't understand anything about duplication, and because I came from a traditional background, I made myself the issue. So I built to the second to highest level relatively quickly because I understood the structure, and I almost structured it myself. And if the business was dependent on me, it was like I was like a brownie wanting to get the pins on my patches, you know, the patches on my thing.
Right.
And it very quickly, I probably sponsored 50 people in the first month, not really understanding what sponsoring was because I was a hard worker and I didn't really understand, again, what duplication and sponsorship was. And there's a difference between recruiting, which I was good at, and sponsorship, which I understood not at all.
Yeah.
And my business imploded. But then I got, you know, I met people in that company, legends then and legends today. And I learned the difference between sponsoring, recruiting 50, running it up to 500, and seeing it implode because you put yourself, you make yourself the issue, and learning how to get out of the way and finding the right five and turning it into 5,000. Now, that took 2 years to learn all that.
Yep, sure,
but
for sure.
But that's okay because I still had a traditional business, and it didn't cost me a lot of money to learn it. And at the end of that, you know, I've never made less than six figures a year in the industry since that time. And I always thought, wow, if you can spend 4 years to go to college, or your parents actually, if in my case, and that costs, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars today and certainly six figures back then, and grind at some $40,000, $50,000 a year job, if you're lucky, that tells you, you know, and nobody works a 40-hour week when they get out of college. They work 60 hours trying to get a 10% raise to move to some city they send you to. And you can learn everything you need to learn part-time or not part-time because I was very serious, but without having to give up your current source of income. And in 2 to 4 years, you can walk away and be able to earn a six-figure income mailbox money on your own terms what's better than that? Why would you ever have to embellish it to be more than that? And once I understood that, I didn't think anything could really stop me.
Yeah, and it hasn't. And, you know, one of the, Lisa, you, I just had this great idea, which I'll talk to you about offline more, but, you know, I'm just thinking about, you've got almost 30 years of success
yeah.
in the profession, and it's all over
I'm
the
old.
World. You're not old. It's all over the world, and it's in a variety of different companies, not just companies that you've built, but companies you've consulted to. There's a series here. I could interview you and create a series. We'll just think about that for later. But so here's what I want to focus on. Two demographics of distributors that I think are listening to this call, either live tonight or they're listening to it a year later, a month later, 10 years later, and could be anywhere in the world they're listening to this podcast. And the two demographics that I think are mostly represented here are relatively new distributors that are hungry for new information, and they have tapped in to the Bliss Business Hero calls, and people that have been in the business for 2 or 3 or 4 years have had some success, but they've plateaued. And so I want to ask you, first of all, about the new distributor. So if you could just imagine you're talking to 100 people, they've been in their business for somewhere between a week and a month, and they really want to be successful, but you know a lot of things they don't know. They don't know what they don't know, so they're blindly pursuing the opportunity. And yes, hopefully they've got a good, strong upline, and they've got a duplicatable system, and they've got events, and they've got a good sponsor, and all that stuff. But what would you tell the new person? They've been in somewhere in their first month, and what we want to do is we want to get them to the end of year one and cash flowing positively with the least amount of attrition, the biggest team possible, but the least amount of attrition on their team. What are two or three things that would come to mind that you would coach them to do no matter what? Like, these are deal breakers. These aren't suggestions. These are deal breakers. These are mandates.
Okay.
What comes to mind?
Well, the first thing I would tell you before we get down to the strategies is this. When you're brand new at anything, your biggest fear is that you are going to not be very good at it, that you're going to go out and make a fool out of yourself, or that you're not going to do it well, or that you're not going to be good enough. And I want to take the pressure off and let you know that in the beginning, with anything new, you're going to suck. And that's okay. You're supposed to. You know, that's the format. Suck, 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 and one day you're like up to average. And then it's average, 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 and then you get better, because the development of skill is just repetition. And if you know that, then you'll be okay with it. And everybody goes through it in every new thing that they do. So if you expect that, it won't bother you. And then the next thing I would tell you is that when we get into network marketing, everybody's greatest fear is, I don't want to go talk to my friends and family until I'm successful. And I think that that's a misnomer. And I think if you look at it from the point of view, of course you want to talk to your friends and family. You don't necessarily want to recruit them. Your friends and family are a great support mechanism. If you're in a traditional business and you're starting something new, the first money that you go to start your business with is friends and family. Everybody yep. starts, that's the first phrase. In network marketing, the first thing you want to do is get profitable, and you do that by getting your money back. And that's not by going out and recruiting people with no story. You go to your closest friends and family, and you ask for their help. You ask them to buy your product and try it and use it. And if they like it, which a lot of them will, to become a customer, use it for a month. And if they don't, okay, don't buy it again. That's how all products work. Products are, you know, customers are required to try product. Advertisers spend millions to do it, but the products themselves will acquire long-term customers. And once you've done that, go start recruiting, because the initial customer base is from your network. Network marketing is about marketing to your network. And when you're first starting out, your most forgiving network are the people that know you best, who love you most. And by the way, it's okay if your friends and family don't want to join your business or make fun of you in the beginning, because you don't really want them to join your business anyway. That's your pressure. The people that know you not quite as well are the people you want to do business with. And when you go out after the first 72 hours and they ask you, well, what's happened for you since? You can say very honestly, I saw a business, I decided to get involved. I've only been in for 3 days, but since I've gotten involved, I talked to my close friends and families. 8 of them bought my product. They're trying it now. I'll let you know what their results are. And the next thing they told me to do after I'd gotten some customers, by the way, that got me my money back, so I'm even now, they told me to go out and talk to the sharpest, brightest, smartest people that I know and see if they were interested in changing their lives with a business opportunity, with a business. And beyond that, I can't tell you much, but let me turn you onto our information system. Let me get you with the group of people that I know, the coaches that I found that are going to help me change my life, and let them explain it to you the way that they explained it to me. Because nobody expects you to be able to know everything about a business in 3 days. Don't expect it of yourself. Don't try to be that person so that they won't expect it of themselves. But you don't need a script to talk to mom and ask her to help you out and try your product. You don't need a script to talk to your best friend and ask her to support you. And a customer or a trial customer is how you get even and have a story to go talk to people about looking at your business. That's what I would tell people to get started, because that gets them breaking even and in a positive format. And by the way, once you've done that, you're immediately able to teach somebody else to do it, because they don't need you to give them a script to talk to mom or talk to their sister. And once you've done it, you can do it again, so nobody can tell you that you can't. And once you've done it, you can teach somebody else how to do it. And that's all network marketing is, doing something yourself so you know it can be done and nobody can tell you that it can't, so you have belief, and then transferring that belief by teaching somebody else how to do exactly the same thing.
Beautiful. Yeah, I think, Lisa, you and I have both participated in surveys, whether formal or informal, with large groups of people. You got a room full of 1,000 network marketers, and you ask them how many of you were introduced to your opportunity by a close friend or family member, most of the hands in the room are going to go up.
Most people,
the first time they're introduced to network marketing, are introduced by a close friend or family member. So, you know, even though those people will hold us the way we were when we were 6 or 16, which may not be in the best light, you know, they hold us like, you know, my sponsor in network marketing, he didn't have any credibility with me at all when it came to business, because he was on unemployment half the time, and the rest of the time he was selling pot for a living. But he was a good friend of mine. And because he was a good friend, I listened.
And you were willing to look.
Yeah, I was. And
exactly.
You know, he didn't have a lot of credibility with me, but he did something really smart. He didn't talk about him. He didn't talk about what he did or what
exactly
he was going to do. He told stories about people that were teaching him. And those people I didn't know, and those people were impressive, and those people, they built big businesses, and they wore nice suits, and they drove to the meeting in Porsches, and it was
He was smarter than me. He didn't make himself. I did
started. Yeah, we all made that mistake. So let's go to the second group of people. I know there's a lot of people on this call. They've been building their business for 2 or 3 years. They're making $2,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, and they found that they've just flattened out. And of course, where most people go when they flatten out like that is they start to look outside themselves at, well, what did the company do? And, you know, well, they changed this, or they changed the product, they changed the compensation plan, or whatever. And they don't look inside at their own personal development or their own strategies, their own leadership. and they flatten out, and it's frustrating because the ambition is still there to be a much more successful distributor, but what got them to where they are is not getting them to where they want to go. And I think
and never will.
That category. So would you speak to that? What are two or three transformational mandates that people that have flattened out have got to do to kick it in high gear and take it to the next level?
Sure. I think it's two parts. I think network marketing, there are two, probably three, but we'll talk about the two. There are two phases to your career. In the beginning, it's about what you can do for you. The majority of your business in the beginning is going out and contacting and inviting people directly to join your business, getting them in front of yourself or someone else, getting them in front of the story. You're building your check and your story. That's something that requires discipline, willpower, getting out of your own way, changing your thinking, changing your beliefs about what you're capable of. But the next step is going from that position to one of leadership, because now it's about helping others to do the same thing. You see, very seldomly is the number one recruiter in a company the number one earner. And so many people think the entire business is around recruiting. And they always think, well, to get to the next level, I'll go find that next person who's going to get me there. And it's not often that you don't have the right people or even enough people. It's that people don't understand what people to focus on. Because 17 out of 20 people that join your business are going to hang out or like the environment if you treat them properly. And so many people get lost in 17 land because they think that every person, this is going to be the one, this is going to be the one. And they spend so much time trying to turn everybody into the ones that they're not looking for the ones within their business that are the ones and learning how to become the catalyst, the mentor, the teacher, the assist, the support to somebody else's leadership and helping somebody else develop their group, which becomes your group. And you have to transition yourself into that person, because it's only when you start to work yourself to being irrelevant that your business can start to move to the next level.
And how do you do that, Lisa? What are some of the strategies, the moves, the requests, or so I'm a leader, I've got a team of, maybe there's 20 other leaders on my team, and they're all used to me being the leader of the pack and doing the most sponsoring and telling them what to do and being there every time they have some kind of Humpty Dumpty falls off the wall issue. What are some of the moves that I've got to make? How do I transform myself into that leader that's not needed?
Well, I'll tell you, it's funny, but this is the strategy it took me a long time to learn, but once I did it, I learned to start this at day one. And if everybody will grab a pen, this is pretty easy, but I want you to write down 7 words, and I want you to write them down the way that I tell you to write them. In the first line, I want you to write, I will help. And in the next line, all by itself, I want you to write the word you. And in the third line, I want you to write, build your business. And when you sit down with anybody, but especially a leader, you have to tell them, we need to define our relationship, because almost all conflict with people, but especially in business, comes because there's not clear understanding of the relationship. And I don't ever want anything, especially something as ridiculous as business, to come between our relationship. So this is a sentence. Right there in the middle, what's right there in the middle of the sentence, Richard?
Help you.
No, the word you, right? 7
yeah,
words
right.
In the middle, you. So I tell people, it's all about you. It's your business, and you have a job. Your job is everything that follows the word you. You build your business. I have a job. My job is everything that comes before the word you. I will help you. You build your business, I will help you. If you're not doing your job, I don't have one. And with a new distributor, Their job is to do one thing and one thing only. Their job, very much like a jockey and a horse in a race. When that's working well, they win triple crowns can be won. A horse's job in a race is to do one thing, run. Run, run, run. Run fast, run hard, and the jockey steers, guides, makes sure the horse doesn't go off the rail, makes sure that nothing bad happens. Now, that works well. Never once in any horse race that I have ever seen in life has the horse stopped dead in tracks. The jockey got off the horse, picked up the horse, and carried it across the finish line. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work in network marketing. So you have to learn to put your efforts where they're deserved, not where they're needed. So the way that it works in network marketing is you say to somebody, we'll take the simple one, make your list. Okay, Mary, when do you think you can make your list by? Monday. Great, I'm going to write that in my book. I'll call you at 2 o'clock, you'll make your list. I call Mary at 2 o'clock on Monday. Mary, did you make your list? She's like, no, well, you know, I wanted to, but I didn't get it done. No problem, did something happen? You know, life gets in the way, and she's like, well, no, but, oh, no problem, Mary. When do you think you can get it done? She says, Wednesday. So Wednesday, we make another appointment. When she doesn't get it done on Wednesday, I say, look, Mary, this is your business. The last thing I ever want to do is put pressure on you. Let me tell you where the conference call, this, here's when the conference calls are. Here's the Saturday, the Super Saturdays. Here's all the stuff that's going on with the group. You've got your convention tickets. And very quickly, she took herself out of my book. So it's not that I'm not getting rid of Mary, but we're going to take Mary out of individually working with her and moving her into group. And the entire time that you're working with people, because there's only one of you and your group is growing, you are seeing who stays in your book and who you're working with in group with things like conference calls, team meetings, all the things that it can be one of you and 50 of somebody else or 500 of somebody else, and where you need to put one-on-one, because the harsh reality is that 10 to 15% of your people are always going to do 85 to 90% of the revenue and the hard work in your business. And that's not network marketing. That's called human nature and life. And it's okay because they decide based on their performance who they are. It's not subjective. And there's nothing wrong with it because it's their business. Our job, our delight, our privilege even, is to create environments where it is okay if somebody wants to come and make $10 a month or $100 a month or $1,000 a month or $10,000 a month or no dollars a month, and we're going to love them and have a place for them in network marketing no matter what their desire is. What we don't do is tell them that a $10 effort is going to yield them $10,000, nor do we give $10,000 service to those that are seeking $10 a month and expect to achieve our goals.
Beautiful. That's profound. I love that. Yeah, really great work. So how I have languaged that, Lisa, in the past is, you know, what you got to find out who your leaders are, and you only want to work with leaders. And how do you find out who a leader is give them assignments, you know, motivate them, have them declare, yeah, I want to do this, I want to be successful, and then give them assignments. And an assignment might be, you know, do your names list by next Wednesday. And the people that do their assignments are the people you work with. And the people that give you a story about why they didn't do their assignments, that's okay. That's beautiful. That's fine. You know, probably was us at one point or time in our career. But they're not ready. And if people aren't ready, you end up, what a beautiful story you told about the horse and the jockey. That's a great analogy. You end up trying to drag them across the finish line. And, you know, if you interviewed so many network marketers that get burned out, the thing that burns them out is trying to drag people across the finish line.
You know, and I think also you have to change the perspective. It's not fair. When you have the gift of being able to see what this industry really is and understand the power that it really has, and you realize that you have an ability to go out and impact others, it's not fair of you or me or anybody that can do that to spend a lot of time with someone who isn't meeting you halfway. Because as a leader, You know, in the beginning, as I said, it's to go out and get your business going. But once you've achieved that, your job is to impact impactors. Because you can always make money, but you can't make more time. And you want to spend your time with those that deserve it so that you can impact the greatest amount of people. Develop a leader and you can touch thousands of lives. Spend a lot of time with one person who isn't ready and doesn't want to go anywhere, and you don't even really impact theirs.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So you can't repeat something you've already said. And the question is, in building mode, not consulting or running companies or leadership development, in building mode, what's the biggest mistake you've made in your career? And it might have been a financial mistake, like a business building strategy mistake, or it might have been a integrity mistake, relationship mistake, communication mistake, health mistake. Maybe you made it one time and it was epic. Maybe you made it habitually and you cannot address something you've already addressed.
What's the biggest mistake I ever made in my career?
Yep.
Not understanding that every day is, or every opportunity is a new day. Meaning, we experience is a wonderful thing. You know, you have it, and it enables you to not have to learn it again. But when you go out to build something new, it's a new day, and you go, and you got to get the what you've done or what you've been or what you thought you were out of your head and go back to work just like first day with the enthusiasm and the belief of the first day you ever did it, because it can really get in your head and get in the way of being successful.
So what happened that you learned that? Like, where was the failure that led to that lesson?
I would say that was when I first started the company where I actually broke through. You know, I did really well my first 10 years, but let's say I was limited by, let me put it this way. When people do what they expect to do. So I did after my first 2 years in network marketing, I did well for the next 8 years by other people's standards, but I pretty much equaled the income I had made out of network marketing. So I pretty much met my own standard of what I thought I was capable of. I just did it in a new discipline. But I never really went for bigger numbers. And in my 11th year, I made $1.2 million in 2001. And I did
Wow.
that primarily. And I went from like a $200,000 and $250,000 a year girl to a $1 million a year girl.
Yep.
And that was largely because of timing. And I had great relationships with a lot of people that were very, very, very talented in the industry, people that I perceived were better than I was and had great pedigree. And I was in the company early, and I had the great fortune of recruiting and enrolling a great many of them. And because they were who they were and I thought they were so much better than I was, very often I did not listen to my gut and build the way that I thought should be built, and I compromised the way that I thought things should be done, and thus compromised the culture of what I was building because of who they were. And it was a mistake, because universal truth and your gut and what is right is always right, and I should have said no many times when I said yes out of fear of loss or thinking, you know, they're them and I'm me. And in the end, you know, I ended up rebuilding the business a second time differently, more sustainable, much happier. And in retrospect, I never made that mistake again.
Got it. All right. On the flip side, what's the smartest thing you've ever done? And you can't repeat something you've already covered.
The smartest thing I ever did. Saying yes to network marketing.
Ha, ha, ha. All right, I'll let you have that one. Next question. You've been at this 30 years, but I know you. You haven't. You're not even remotely slowing down. In fact, every year I see you, feels to me like you're speeding up. You're gaining more ground. You're taking on bigger opportunities and responsibilities, coaching people, leading companies, coaching companies. What do you see for Lisa? What are you looking to build in the next 5 to 10 years? If we check in on you 10 years from now, what do you imagine? What are you declaring that you're creating and building? And who will you be?
I don't know who I'll be. I like to think, I hope, as we all do, that I'm getting better, wiser as I get older. I want to leave it better than I found it. That's really my goal today. And it sounds kind of trite, but it wasn't for a very, very long time. You know, I think we have to go through a lot as human beings before we get to a point where the things that we thought or the things that motivated us really don't even matter that much to us anymore. And I like to leave things better than I found it. I love to solve problems. I will probably be, among all the other things I'm doing, I'm working on something called Better Think Inc. Because I think that that's the challenge today. I think that people don't really solve problems. I don't think they think things through. I think it's inherently why so many people have so many challenges being in business. And I think that what you do, Richard, you ask a lot of thought-provoking questions. And so many people have so much in their heads, they don't know how it got there, and they don't even know why they believe what they believe. And I think that people need to be provoked into thinking.
Okay. You are. No doubt your legacy will be leaving network marketing a way, way better place. Someday, Lisa, maybe sooner than later, I think it would just be fascinating if we could get all in one place, maybe on a website, maybe in a meeting room, maybe in a book, all the network marketing leaders, successful leaders, company owners, consultants, even suppliers to the profession that can lay claim to a great deal of their success came from how you touched them and how you coached them and how you made unreasonable requests of them and how you told them the truth even if they didn't want to hear it. You have influenced so many people around the world in this profession.
Oh, you're sweet.
Your legacy is already there. So I look forward to seeing how it rolls out in the next 10 years. Last question, true to form, and I know you don't listen to hero calls probably, so you probably don't know this, and I didn't give you a heads up, so you just have to wing it. The last question you ask me.
I will ask you the last question. Okay.
What do you think of it?
Knowing what you know today, and knowing with certainty that almost all of it will probably change in the next 10 years, what are you going to do that will have the greatest impact on the largest number of people?
Well, that's easy for me to answer. Technology will always change. Systems will change. Paradigms will change. But what won't change in the network marketing community is that what it's always going to take to build an empire is a leader. It's always going to take somebody who crafts stories in their mind and their heart that empowers them to empower other people to do what other people are afraid to do. to take themselves on and transform themselves and make those same unreasonable requests of other people. So the leverage that I create, I think, is the same as like you create, Lisa. It is working with people and coaching people to be the kind of leader that impacts people. So if in the course of our career, you know, we can influence the leadership development of 100 leaders, and those 100 leaders are impacting, you know, 100,000 people in their entire organization, you know, that's 10 million people we've impacted. And so my sweet spot, you know, I've got a lot of business strategies, and, you know, I got a lot of books left in me and a lot of podcasts and interviews and even product development I love. And I love building a role model network marketing company. But aside from all of that, my sweet spot will always be in intimate groups or one-on-one, taking people's dreams and aspirations and you know, giving them all that I have that gives them the best shot of manifesting it. And it's just a gift. You and I have both been given a gift. We were given that gift by maybe just one person or maybe a few people. But we were taken on at somewhere in our career. Somebody said, look, I'm going to stand for you becoming an extraordinary leader. And fortunately, you and I had the courage to step up and accept that level of expectation and the courage to take ourselves on and develop ourselves. It is lonely at the top.
But it's filled with joy.
Yes, it is. And so, you know, that's what
now
I'm
you,
doing.
You do find the joy. I'm going to learn to speak like you in the next 10 years. That just went on my bucket list. I'm telling you. Wow.
Well, thank you, Lisa. Every once in a while I meet somebody that says, I'm sure you do too, you know, when are you going to retire? What's your five-year plan? And, you know, I don't know what I would retire from. If for some reason something happened that said, okay, you're retired, you know, it would take me about an hour before I'm like, okay, what are we going to build? What are we going to
create? You know, I was going to say retire. My answer to that would be, okay, you mean we're going to start something new, right? We're going to go do a new something.
That's retirement. What are we starting? Let's build it. Lisa, you're a treasure, and I'm serious. There's some ideas here.
Whatever you want, Richard. I would never say no to you. You are a man that when you call, people listen and people heed the call, at least the smart ones, and I like to think of myself as a smart girl.
You're a smart girl for sure. Thank you, my love.
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it so much. And thank you to all the listeners. I appreciate your time and you sharing some of it with us.
Yeah. Hey, if people want to find you and learn more about your story, where do they find it? Is there
Facebook.
LisaGrossman.com?
No, I don't have a website yet. I've been working on it for 3 years. Soon. But Facebook. Facebook.
Facebook. But do you at least own LisaGrossman.com?
I do.
Perfect.
I own so many.
All right, go find Lisa on Facebook and like her fan page and become a friend and follow her.
But I do answer all my letters. Everybody that writes me, every single person, I answer them all myself.
Wow. All right. We'll see you down the road.
Thanks, Richard.
Nice to be in here. Yep. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Richard Bliss Brooks' Network Marketing Heroes podcast. For more invaluable training tools, such as audios, videos, and of course, his best-selling books, The 4-Year Career and Mach 2 with Your Hair on Fire, head to blissbusiness.com. For 10% off your order, use the discount code HERO at checkout. If you're serious about building your business, make sure to subscribe to Richard's blog for all the latest tools and articles.